Dick Buckley. We have jazz records for you for the next 3 hours. Yes, we're here with jazz records for you. I say that every Sunday around about this time. We have just lots and lots of good old good ones to play for you. And hope you'll be with us until 3 o'clock. And tell a friend about the good sounds you hear here. WBEZ is 91.5 on your FM dial in Chicago, Chicago Public Radio. We have Dave Remington and a group that he had together back in 1959 to begin things. Dave sent me this compact disc. If anybody's listening who knows Dave or who'll talk to him in the next day or so, tell him that there are some things in here I'd like to use, but there are a lot of dropouts on the CD, and I don't know what caused it. At first I thought maybe it was my machine, but then I played other CDs on the machine and didn't have it. So a lot of dropouts. One that has fewer than most is the one called the Wagon Wheel Jazz Band, back at a club called the Wagon Wheel back in 1959, with Dick Oakley, trumpet, Chuck Hedges, clarinet, Dave Remington, trombone, Mel Grant, the pianist, Joe Levinson, bass, and Wayne Gormley, the drummer. And this is the old Sensation Rag. Dave Remington, and actually it was the Wagon Wheel Jazz Band, Dave Remington, with an album of things that he's, groups he's been associated with. The album is called 1959 to, whoops, to Falling on the Floor Almost, 1959 to 1993, Jazz for Grown-Ups, Dave Remington and Chicago Friends. And the friends there, on the Sensation Rag, were Chuck Hedges, clarinet, Dick Oakley, trumpet, Dave Remington, trombone, Mel Grant, the pianist, Joe Levinson, bass, and Wayne Gormley, the drummer. Here is a side that Decca recorded back in December of 1935. This is another one of the sides that was recorded for release in Europe, because jazz records in 1935 weren't selling in this country at all, right in the midst of the Depression. The Delta Four was the name of the group, and how many of them were on the Delta at one time or another? Probably none of them. Let's see. Roy Eldridge, trumpet, Joe Marsala, clarinet, Carmen Mastrin, guitar, and Sid Weiss, the bassist. From December 20th of 1935, the Delta Four and the Farewell Blues. Sounds there going off in the distance. That was the Farewell Blues, done for you by the Delta Four, they called themselves. Roy Eldridge, trumpet, Joe Marsala, clarinet, Carmen Mastrin, guitar, and Sid Weiss, the bassist. From December 20th of 1935, they recorded that one for Decca, for release in Europe. Let's see, we have coming up next they finally got around to it. The Sunbeam Record Company was in the process of reissuing everything by Bix Beiderbecke on CD. The series called Bix Restored. And the first three volumes have been available for a long time. Finally, they got around to volume four of Bix Restored. And I haven't checked it out completely, but it's supposed to have everything that Bix recorded when he was with Goldkett, when he was with Whiteman, when he was with Frankie Trombauer, the sides that he recorded as Bix and his gang. And the sides have been denoised, got rid of all of the masters of these things were not available in most cases, so they had to use the best available 78s and then try and get rid of the record scratch and that sort of noise. And they did a good job on it. This John R.T. Davis of England is a master at noise reduction. This is Bix and his gang, and a thing that was recorded when he was with Paul Whiteman. It was recorded September 21st of 1928 with members of the Paul Whiteman Band. Bix and his gang was the billing. Bill Rank, trombone. Irving Friedman, clarinet. Min Liebrook playing the bass saxophone. Roy Bargey was the pianist. Lenny Hayden was playing the piano and drums. And also, if this is the side with the harmonium, I don't think it is, but if you hear the harmonium, that's the old foot pedal organ. Lenny played that too. Bix and his gang and Rhythm King. Hicks and his gang from September of 1928. And that was the Rhythm King. On the Sunbeam label, they finally have all four volumes of the complete Bix Beiderbecke. Bix Restored, they call it. They also speed corrected the 78s. You know, if you're a record collector, that different companies had different turning speeds for 78s. For one thing, how did they, before electric motors, how did they have the turntables turn? They had a weight that dropped from a rope, and the rope was tied around a post, which was actually the center of the turntable, and it dropped through, a couple of floors until it, but it turned so supposedly at the same speed all the way down, but that didn't always happen. And people with perfect pitch, people with tremendous ears, get very irritated at listening to the old records and hearing how they turn too fast or they turn too slow. But these have been pitch restored and noise reduced, and it's a great addition to the collection. Four compact disc sets, three compact discs to a set. Bix Restored. Supposedly everything that Bix recorded, including some alternate takes. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley here with the Jazz Records. Let's listen to Henry Red Allen now, and a side that was recorded for Decca back in May of 1928. Actually, this was recorded under the drummer Zutty Singleton's name. And they were putting together an album of New Orleans jazz. The Decca album of Chicago jazz had been so successful that they decided they'd try it with New Orleans jazz. And they used the same group to record two sides by Henry Red Allen and two sides by Zutty Singleton. We're going to play one of the Zutty sides, Shimmy Shawabble. Who were the members of the ensemble? Well, there was Red Allen, trumpet, Benny Morton, trombone, Edmund Hall, clarinet, Lil Armstrong at the piano, Bernard Addison, guitar, Pops Foster, bass, and Zutty himself, Zutty Singleton, the drummer. And like the man said, Shimmy Shawabble. Shimmy Shall Wobble with Henry Redout. No, actually, Zooty Singleton and his orchestra. And the gentlemen of the ensemble again included Red Allen trumpet, Benny Morton trombone, Edmund Hall clarinet, Lil Armstrong piano, Bernard Addison guitar, Pops Foster bass, and Zooty Singleton, the drummer. Here is, aside from an album that Chuck Hedges made for the Arbors label, with Eddie Higgins, well known to Chicagoans. He'd been a Floridian for a good many years now, but you always feel like Eddie is really from Chicago. He spent so many years here. Eddie Higgins, piano. Bob Haggart, bass. And Gene Estes is the drummer. And Chuck Hedges, clarinet, of course. This is Cheek to Cheek. Boy, they work well together, don't they? Chuck Hedges and Eddie Higgins. And that was Cheek to Cheek. Bob Haggart was the bassist and Gene Estes, the drummer. Speaking of drummers, I wanted to mention, and I forgot, I'll have to start making notes again, like I did back in the days when I first started. And you get nervous and you can't remember anything. Now it's just old age, I think, is taking over. But I wanted to mention, when we played the Big Spiderbeck thing, that the regular drummer wasn't there, and Lenny Hayton was playing the drums. And Lenny was really a bomb dropper, wasn't he? Just ta-boom, boom, ta-boom, boom. Beating any of the bebop drummers, I think, when it came to dropping bombs. WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley. Just getting started. We've got the better part of 2.5 hours left. We'll be with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon to play jazz sounds. Traditional jazz. The good old good ones. And some that aren't so old but are still good. The good young good ones. This is a side that I hit my old buddy Dick LaPalme to the other day. We were talking about Don Fagerquist, and I asked him if he had the Fagerquist album on the VSOP label called 8x8. And he said, no, he didn't. I said, well, you know, you get this one, you'll flip out. Before I knew Dick, if I'd have known him, I'd have been with him. He and a friend saw that Gene Krupa was going to be playing at, was it Paw Paw Lake over in Michigan? And Fagerquist was with Krupa. And so they drove over there just to catch the Krupa band for one night, just to hear of Don Fagerquist. I'll never understand why he didn't make it. I guess he got buried in the studios, and everyone except the musicians forgot about him. 8x8 is the name of the album, and features Herbie Geller, alto, Ronnie Lang playing baritone, Ed Leddy playing lead trumpet, Bobbin of Olson, valve trombone, Vince DeRosa, French horn, Marty Page is the pianist, Buddy Clark, the bassist, and Mel Lewis, the drummer, and Don Fagerquist and his trumpet. And this is the Lullaby of Broadway. Don Fagerquist, and from his album 8x8, that was The Lullaby of Broadway. Mel Lewis was the drummer. Let's see, we have coming up next Red Norvo and his sextet. Remember Red Norvo's selected sextet, as they called it? Red gathered together a group of all-stars. This was back in late 40s, I believe, late 40s or early 50s, when bebop was new and there was much conversation about bebop and the young modern musicians who were playing it versus the older musicians who were still playing more traditional swing era sides. And Red Norvo put together a group called the Selected Sextet, which included Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie and Teddy Wilson and Slam Stewart and musicians from all eras. But he didn't put any names on the album, and gave no names at all, just the Selected Sextet, because he didn't want you to form a prejudiced opinion from modern musician or traditional musician. The album, by the way, didn't sell very well at all. Came out on the Comet label. It was an album, 12-inch, 78 RPM records. People didn't buy 12-inch records very often. They break too easy. Or they did. Here's Red Norvo with his not selected sextet this time, the Red Norvo sextet. Sweets Edison's trumpet, Ben Webster, tenor saxophone, Jimmy Rolls is the pianist, Bob Carter bass, and Bill Douglas, the drummer. And Red, I can't tell you right now whether he plays the xylophone or the vibraphone on this one, but we'll soon find out. This is the Sunrise Blues.
Thank you.
Fred Norvo and his sextet. And that was Sweets Edison's trumpet, of course. Sweets running through his collection of cliches. Ben Webster, tenor saxophone, and Red was playing the xylophone there, of course. Jimmy Rolls was the pianist, Bob Carter bass, and Bill Douglas the drummer. From Red Norvo's album called Just a Mood on the RCA Bluebird label. The Marsalis family has a new album out. It's called The Marsalis Family, A Jazz Celebration. And the father is there, Ellis, at the piano, and his sons, Branford, tenor saxophone, Delfio, trombone, Jason, the drummer, Winton, trumpet, and close family friend Roland Guerin, bass. This is a thing Ellis has composer credit on this, and I can't find the title. Where in the heck is the title? Here it is. Swingin' at the Haven, written by Ellis Marsalis.
Okay, swingin' at the Haven.
the Marsalis family with a thing that the father, Ellis, wrote and arranged for the group called Swingin' at the Haven. I would guess that the Haven must be a club in New Orleans that was obviously live and in person. And Ellis should have had one more kid. You needed a drummer there, but they had a drummer, of course, Roland Guerin. No, a bassist. That was it. Yeah, because they had Jason Marsalis, the drummer. Roland Guerin was the bassist. If he just had one more kid, he could have the whole group then. Winton with his trumpet, Branford with his saxophone, tenor this time, Delfeo with his trombone, Jason at the drums, and Ellis at the piano. The song was written and arranged by Ellis. It's going to be a big record. All of the Marsalises are famous now, and this is their most recent effort. Well, that just pretty well takes care of the first of our 3 hours with you. But as they say in the trade, don't touch that dial. Don't go away, because we'll be back with more jazz after these important messages. We're with you until 3 o'clock every Sunday from noon until 3 o'clock. So you still have time to tell a friend, call a friend and tell them about the program, and don't have to miss a beat. I'm Dick Buckley. This is Chicago Public Radio.
Chicago Public Radio is supported by the Great Lakes Experience Reunion, featuring the Great Lakes Naval Band in concert with jazz musicians Clark Terry and other original members of the historic African-American World War II band. The concert takes place at 7:30 p.m. on Sunday, March 2nd at Symphony Center. Ticket information is available at 312-294-3000. Well, it's that time again. Happy how do you do to you, everybody. My name is Jim Nader. Welcome to the Chicago Public Radio Legal ID Show with today's guest, Marlene Dietrich.
Endlich ist die Welt uns entglitten und wir fahren in unserem...
We're broadcasting from the Lehman Family Public Radio Center at Chicago's Navy Pier. This is Chicago Public Radio, WBEZ Chicago at 91.5 FM, WBEW Chesterton 89.5 FM, and WBEZ.org.
To get started on hour number two, we have a big band that Chubby Jackson fronted back in 1949. Briefly, it was not really ever too successful, but oh, it was a wild crew, as you might imagine. This, probably their best-known effort, Tiny Khan, the drummer, wrote it and arranged it, and it's called Father Knickerbopper. Chubby didn't play the bass on this one. He's standing out in front leading and cheerleading. And Teddy Charles plays the vibes. The saxophone solo, Marty Flax on baritone, Al Epstein on tenor, Frank Sokolow on alto, and Ray Turner on tenor. And Charlie Walp comes in on trumpet to play part of the last chorus, and Al Porcino does the upper register trumpet work. Chubby Jackson with Father Knickerbopper. Oh, Knickerbocker, Chubby Jackson. Oh, that was a wild one, from 1959. Let's calm things down considerably with Grover Mitchell, who has been fronting the Count Basie Orchestra most recently. Made an album under his own name on the Jazz Chronicles label. Says made possible by voluntary tax-exempt contribution to the Los Angeles Theseum. Contributions to the Theseum enable friends of jazz to express their confidence in this uniquely American art. All right. This, it's an all-star group, and this is one of the most underrated trumpet players, just completely overlooked. He spent some time with Count Basie, but didn't catch on for some reason. Beautiful player, Al Ahrens, with a thing that he wrote called Paris Nights. Mitchell in the orchestra, and featuring Al Ahrens as trumpet with Paris Nights, thing that Al Ahrens wrote. Here's a new side, a new collection of Bunny Berrigan things on the Collectibles label. And they don't say, the liner notes are very uninformative, but if you know Berrigan's career and the things that he did, you'll know that these are thesaurus transcription sides. They don't do anything. They don't tell you anything about the dates, the recording, the personnel, or anything, but we'll tell you that they are from the thesaurus transcriptions. It would have been nice if they'd have started, you know, maybe a couple CD set of things that in chronological order, but they didn't see fit to do that. Bunny Berrigan in the orchestra as, who was it? One of the players with the band said they were like a bunch of bad little boys when they were on the road together. Boy, they did have spirit. You'll hear Georgie Auld's tenor saxophone and Buddy Rich, the drummer, Gus Bavona. Yes, Virginia, there is a Gus Bavona. Clarinet, and of course, Bunny Berrigan's trumpet. Tain't so, honey, tain't so. Orchestra from a thesaurus transcription. Tain't so, honey, tain't so. And that was Georgie Auld's tenor saxophone. Buddy Rich was the kicking drummer. From 1938. Here's tenor saxophonist Sam Donahue and his orchestra. And this is Poor Butterfly. Sam Donahue and the orchestra and Poor Butterfly. I wonder, Sam Donahue started with his own band, and then he thought he could become more famous if he took a job that was offered to him as tenor soloist with the Gene Krupa band, and he turned his band over to Sonny Burke. And Sam kind of knocked around here and there in various groups, and nothing really ever happened. And so he went back to his own band, and Benny Goodman and Benny's band manager helped him get his band back. And that cut Sonny Burke loose from a job. And Sonny's mother said that Sonny's mother was, Albanian gypsy. She put a gypsy curse on Sam Donahue. He would never enjoy success. He would struggle and he would struggle, and when success was just around the corner, it would disappear. He would never enjoy success. And I guess it was the same kind of a curse that the Greek curse that what's his name? Hamburger, put on the Cubs. And Billy Gotsianas, yeah. Because Sam never did enjoy the fame that he should have had. He became the director of the Billy May Band when Billy decided to quit traveling. He fronted the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra after Tommy died, and he joined the Stan Kenton Band as featured soloist, among other things, but nothing ever really caught on for him. Have to watch those gypsy curses. Here's Red Norvo. These were transcription sides that Red recorded in 1938. Red Norvo and Mildred Bailey, Mr. and Mrs. Swing. And Mrs. Swing sits this one out and listens to the band as they play Blue Skies. Red Norvo and his orchestra, when Red was still playing the xylophone. That was 1938. Originally on a transcription, now reissued on the Circle label, Red Norvo and Mildred Bailey. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley, Jazz Records here. We're listening to the big bands that play jazz at the moment. And coming up next, Artie Shaw and the orchestra, the 1941 band that had strings, but also had Hot Lips Page, the trumpet soloist, and Ray Conniff and Jack Jenny were the two trombone soloists. Jenny played the pretty things, and Conniff played the jazz. Georgie Auld was the tenor soloist. Dave Tough was the drummer, and of course Artie with his clarinet. This is when Artie became sold on Dave Tough, to the point that when he enlisted in the Navy to take over a Navy band, he talked the Navy, he twisted the Navy's arms into taking Dave Tough into the Navy. They had quite an argument about that, and I guess Artie had to finally call on some of the higher-ups in the Navy who were Artie Shaw fans, and they finally saw to it that Dave Tough became a member of the United States Navy and drummed with the Artie Shaw band, which you can hear as you listen to this one from October 30th of 1941, Solid Sam. Shaw on the orchestra and Solid Sam with Dave Tough driving them through that one. from October of 1941. Here's Duke Ellington in the orchestra, and one of the earliest sides made when Johnny Hodges finally came back after nearly 5 years of trying to make it with his own little band. He decided he was better off with Duke and came back. Everybody welcomed everybody with open arms. And this was one of the sides that they made for the Bethlehem label in February of 1956. You'll hear Jimmy Hamilton's clarinet featured, Willie Cook, trumpet, Harry Carney's baritone saxophone, Duke at the piano, of course. The fellow who did the liner notes was not an Ellington expert. We're going to play the Upper Manhattan Medical Group, which later became known as UMMG. And he says, here's another swinger which you can talk the title. That's the only significance I can attach to it. He also credits Duke with writing it. I think most people agree that Strayhorn wrote it. But it was dedicated to Duke's physician, Dr. Arthur Logan, who was a member of the Upper Manhattan Medical Group. And that's the significance of the title. And here it is. Duke Ellington and the orchestra, recorded originally for the Bethlehem label, that was Upper Manhattan Medical Group. If I'm not mistaken, it was the first recording of that tune, and although the composer credit here on this reissue goes to Ellington, I'm positive that Strayhorn wrote it. Here's Woody Herman. This is a CD that somebody sent me. They burned a copy of the original, I guess, and sent it to me. The album called Woody's Last Blast, the second heard in California, 1949. Gene Ammons is there. This is his featured number with the Herd, More Moon. And although the fellow who sent me the copy says Shelly Mann was the drummer, I kind of feel that maybe Don LeMond was the drummer here. Sounds more like LeMond than Shelly. But anyway, it was that great Herd with Ernie Royal doing the upper register trumpet work, and Red Rodney and Shorty Rogers were a couple of the soloists in the trumpet section. And who else did they have? I guess Terry Gibbs at the vibes, Lou Levy, the pianist. And, well, it was the second Herd in California, and a band that had more energy per kilo than almost any other band around. This is More Moon, and Jug is the tenor soloist. And with any luck at all, we should have it right about here.
Fellas call it More Moon. We'll be right back. You say more moon, gentlemen, that's the most moon.
Oh, these clever announcers, I swear. Woody Herman and a short-lived band that was one of the great, great big band organizations in all of jazz. The only problem was this was the height of the narcotics problem in jazz, and Woody had his hands full with the guys in that second herd. It's too bad. Talked to people who were around and who lived through that period, and several of them didn't. But some of the guys managed to kick it and get back into the mainstream. But several of them died from overdoses and the like. First it was booze, and then it was marijuana, and then it was the hard stuff. And finally, I guess today, the young fellas are just about as straight as you can get. They're coming out of the colleges, and they're more interested in music than they are in the other stuff that goes along with it. Here's Count Basie. This is the Basie Band in Europe at the Olympia in Paris. And thing that Benny Carter wrote and arranged for the Basie Band called Easy Money. Thank you. Count Basie Band in a Paris concert playing Benny Carter's composition and arrangement called Easy Money. WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley with the Jazz Records. We're listening to the big bands at the moment. Here's a thing from an album taken from bands that made MGM musicals. It's called Alive and Kickin', Big Band Sounds at MGM. And although this is a 1943 recording, it sounds as if it's in stereo, and they point out that they use multiple microphones and multiple microphone angles so that when they mixed the multi-channel masters into stereophonic sound, they had stereo sound in 1943 before there actually was stereo sound. This is Cy Oliver's famous composition for the Dorsey Band of Opus 1. And I believe the trumpet solo here is Ziggy Elman. We'll listen and see. I think Don Lodice is the tenor soloist. Buddy Rich is the drummer. Opus 1. It's from June 25th of 1943. Tommy Dorsey and the orchestra in stereo from 1943 from the movie soundtrack. Actually, they didn't use that in the movie. And if you noticed, kind of a tacit In the last few bars, there was supposed to be a Buddy Rich drum break in there, which they were going to have Buddy do later, but they decided not to use it, and so they didn't have Buddy do the drum break later, so there was kind of an empty spot right near the end of the record. Anyway, that was TD and Opus 1. And now, when was it, last week or the week before, we did, on our last hour, the Bob Crosby Band, the last gasp of the Bob Crosby Band. And they did a series of songs for the armed services. And I played Semper Paratus, and I didn't know what Semper Paratus meant. And I guess it means always prepared, something like that. Anyway, I got a letter from a listener who was a member of the Coast Guard, and he said that was the Coast Guard song. And he sent me, he couldn't remember the regular lyrics, but he could remember some X-rated lyrics. I think it was triple X-rated lyrics that they used to sing. Ah, yes, that made those service songs bearable, didn't it? Anyway, so we have Semper Paratus here by the Bob Crosby Band to take us out this afternoon. That was Semper Paratus, the Coast Guard song. So thanks to the listener who let me know, and thanks also for the X-rated lyrics that he sent along with it. I'd like to sing it for you, but we'd be off the air and out of business if I did. That takes care of our second hour. We've still got a lot of good music coming up after these important messages. I'm Dick Buckley. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio.
Next time on the Tavis Smiley Show, commentator Connie Rice sends another Ashcroft alert regarding a leaked domestic security enhancement proposal. Plus, our regular sports update with George Johnson and a conversation with critic and author Stephen Talty about his new book, Mulatto America. That's next time on the Tavis Smiley Show from NPR.
Weekdays at 2 o'clock on Chicago Public Radio.
Next on Performance Space, we'll hear from Sphere, a high-powered ensemble that uses Thelonious Monk's middle name as its own. The group's tribute to the jazz giant, along with other great work, was the focus of their headlining appearance at the 24th Annual Chicago Jazz Festival. Hi, I'm Richard Steele. and I hope you'll join me for this and all the best in live performance on Performance Space, Saturdays at 8 p.m. and again Sundays at 11 p.m. here on Chicago Public Radio.
The following is a public service announcement provided by Chicago Public Radio. Illinois Arts Alliance invites you to hear the Chicago Chamber Choir and see the Natya Dance Theater perform. It's all part of the Illinois Arts Alliance Arts Advocacy Day. The performance is Thursday from noon to 1 in the Capitol Rotunda in Springfield. For more information on this and other planned events, call 312-855-3105. This is Chicago Public Radio.
Chicago Public Radio is supported by the Great Lakes Experience Reunion, featuring the Great Lakes Naval Band in concert with jazz musicians Clark Terry and other original members of this historic African-American World War II band. The concert takes place at 7:30 p.m. on Sunday, March 2nd at Symphony Center. Ticket information is available at 312-294-3000. Support for this program is provided by Navy Pier. Information about the activities and events taking place at the pier this week can be accessed online at NavyPier.com. This is Chicago Public Radio, WBEZ Chicago, 91.5 FM, and WBEW Chesterton, 89.5 FM.
One of the many record catalogs that was sent to me had a listing of Don Byas, the complete American small group recordings. And boy, I scraped together my pennies for that one, because Don Byas has long been a favorite of mine. And I have a lot of those old 10-inch 78 RPM records that came out during the war. But, you know, shellac was unavailable during World War II. It came from the West Indies, Java, I guess. And anyway, they couldn't... records didn't have the quality. It seemed like one playing with those heavy tone arms and those steel needles or diamond needles, and the surface came off. And so I learned to use cactus needles, and I started whittling my own needles out of fish. I whittled up a couple of fish poles, making my own needles so that we didn't wear out the records. And I remember I did a program on Don Byas using some of the 78s, but they were all pretty noisy, and I didn't have the ability to, or the equipment to, do any noise reduction. But now there's so much of it around and so many of the things are cleaned up, I thought I'd take a chance. And it was well worth it, because I've got four compact discs of about 20 or so selections per disc of things that Don Byas recorded. He was one of the busiest recorders from 1944, 45, 46, and These things are excellent quality. So, enough talk. Let's get started with Carlos Wesley Byas. His mother was part Cherokee Indian, and his father was of Spanish origin. He played the clarinet. He studied the violin and the clarinet prior to the alto saxophone. In the late 20s, Don learned the ropes working with territory bands based out of Oklahoma City, headed by Benny Moten and Terrence Holder and Walter Page. At the beginning of the 30s, he studied at Langdon University. Byas formed his first group, Don Carlos and his Collegians, or his Collegiate Ramblers, that was it. And after switching to tenor in 1933, he moved to California, where he worked with Lionel Hampton, Eddie Bearfield, Buck Clayton, Charlie Eccles, and he traveled to the East Coast in 1937 with the Eddie Mallory Band. I must have seen him with the Eddie Mallory Band, because Eddie Mallory was the accompanying orchestra for Ethel Waters, and I remember my parents took me to see a stage show of Ethel Waters with the Eddie Mallory Band, but I didn't know Don Byas from Irving Byas. Anyway, he worked with Don Redman, he worked with Lucky Millinder, he worked with Andy Kirk. And he got his big break when Count Basie hired him as a replacement for Lester Young. Prez had been drafted into the Army, and Byas worked with Basie all through the wartime years while Prez was in the Army. So, like I said a couple of minutes ago, let's get started with the music. This is a thing that came out originally on the Savoy label. Don Byas Orchestra with Charlie Shaver's trumpet, Rudy Williams, alto saxophone. Rudy Williams, who was greatly influenced by Charlie Parker. He was the alto saxophonist with the Savoy Sultans and strictly a swing era player, but when he heard Bird, he began to try and play bebop. You'll notice a little of it here. Slam Stewart was the bassist. Slam did a lot of work during the wartime years. And Jack Parker, known as the Bear, Jack the Bear Parker, was the drummer. July 28th of 1944, Don Byas and the 1944 Stomp. Called 1944 and featured Charlie Shavers, Rudy Williams, Clyde Hart, Slam Stewart, and Jack the Bear Parker. Here's a side that Don recorded. By the way, it's interesting to look at the list of the labels that he recorded with and for during the World War II years. It's no wonder they're hard to find and that the surfaces are bad on most of our records, if we bought them at that time. The Jamboree label, the Hub label, Super Disc, American, National, Arista, International label, Gotham, Signature, Comet, and HNS labels. And so evidently enough people had those labels that were in fairly good shape that they were able to put together these four compact discs. Here, Don Byas All-Star Quintet features Buck Clayton, trumpet, Johnny Guarnieri, the pianist, Eddie Safransky, bass, Denzel Best, the drummer, June 27th of 1945, and that was the date that they did Deep Purple. And with any luck at all, this should be it. See, as we go through the program, why Don was one of the great ballad players in jazz. He had a great love for melody and ballads. He had a great knowledge of chords, and the young beboppers who were coming along at this time, who kind of looked down their nose at the most of the mainstream players, loved to work with Bias because he didn't play bebop, but he had such a knowledge of chords that the things that he played led to the young beboppers expanding their knowledge of chords and picking it up from Bias. Here's the Don Bias All-Star Quintet, Buck Clayton. Johnny Guarnieri is the pianist, Eddie Safransky bass, and Denzel Best the drummer. And this is Out of Nowhere.
Thank you.
Don Byas and his all-star quintet with Buck Clayton's trumpet. Buck is one of the fine ballad players, too, with that sensitive, heavy vibrato sound that he gets. While Don was with Basie, he made one record that he made lots of records with Basie, but he made one that made him famous. The opening chorus on the Harvard Blues. Here is his own recording of that. The Don Byas Quartet with Errol Garner at the piano, Slam Stewart bass, and Doc West the drummer, August 30th of 1945.
Man, the
Harvard Blues, Don Byas, who became famous with the opening chorus on that one. Here's, by the way, this is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley, and we're featuring Don Byas today, the tenor saxophone artist who, generally forgotten, he traveled with the Don Redman Band to Europe in 1946, the first American big band other than a service band to play in Europe after World War II. And they were received so tremendously and treated so well that Don decided to make Europe his home, and he lived there for the rest of his life. These are records that he made in this country before all of that. Here's one that I will never forget the first time I heard this one. I saw the Basie Band in person for the first time in Indianapolis. I was going to school at Indiana University, and on the way back to school, I saw advertising on the telephone poles as the bus went by of Count Basie Orchestra, such and such a date, at Tomlinson Hall, white spectators in the balcony only. And so I had to see the Basie Band. I didn't know that Lester Young had left. And it was a disappointment when I got there and I saw there was no Prez, and I saw this strange-looking fella. He looked like anybody else. He had a beard and all of that long before anybody else did. But I found out it was Don Byas, and then Basie introduced him, and he played Stardust. And it just floored me. I found out later that he had a set way of playing Stardust, and he played it that way every time. But it was one of those things that was so great. And here is his own recording of Stardust. Let's see. Do we have a date? Yes, we do. The Don Byas Quartet. You notice these fellas who worked with Byas, they were making lots and lots of records during World War II. The pianist is Johnny Guarnieri, the bassist is Slam Stewart, the drummer is J.C. Hurd, September 6th of 1945. And this is Don Byas's set version of playing Stardust. It's like Art Tatum said, when you get it right, why change it? Thank you. I'm just knocked out by the quality of these records. If you, like me, bought those early 78s and saw the surface go with the heavy tone arms and the steel needles and the diamond needles and the like, and there was so much scratch, or maybe you recorded the program that I did of Don Byas with those 78s and heard those scratchy sounds, and these are just beautiful sounds. Here's one recorded the same day. This one, again, with Johnny Guarnieri, Slam Stewart, and J.C. Hurd, September 6th of 1945, was Slam, Don't Shake Like That. These records remind me all over again of what a great, great bass player Slam Stewart was. He was doing just amazing things on the bass, especially with the bow. Who was it? Sergei Koussevitzky, who said that Slam Stewart was the greatest bass player in the world. And that coming from one of the greatest bass players of the world. But Slam also had great intonation. You know, I talk about bass players' intonation. His intonation was good. His ideas were good. The humming along with the lines that he played put him in a class by himself. And we sometimes forget, when we think of the bass players of jazz, there are so many good ones. You can't overlook Slam Stewart. Here is the same group. Let's see. Uh, Yes, this is the Don Byas All-Star Quartet again, featuring Johnny Guarnieri at the piano. Eddie Safransky, bass, and J.C. Hurd, the drummer, October 3rd of 1945. And it's been a while since we've heard Byas execute the changes, and he does execute them. This is Avalon. Another ballad coming up. I think all young musicians, especially saxophonists, ought to be forced to listen to Don Byas, should be locked in a room with Don Byas records, and learn how he handles ballads. He's not afraid of the melody. He doesn't beat a melody to death like most ballad players do. You can tell what he's playing. He just slight variations, like Ben Webster does. They love the melodies and let you know it. Here's one, pop song of the World War II years, done with the same crew. Let's see, Gene Schroeder is the pianist here, and Tony Gattuso, the guitarist, Slim Durham, the bassist, and Johnny Blowers, the drummer. Sounds like he rated the guys from Condon's for this one, huh? And Don Byas playing Candy. Candy, Don Byas. With Gene Schroeder, the pianist, Tony Gattuso, the guitarist, Slim Durham, bass, and Johnny Blowers, the drummer. In the autumn of 1945 is as close as they can come to the date of that one. Here is the most popular song of its day. The people who wrote it had no idea. They didn't know where the money was coming from because they weren't jazz fans. But all of a sudden, How High the Moon started paying great royalties. Everybody was playing it. This is the way Don Byas did it. And by the way, the trumpet player here is the legendary Benny Harris. Easy for you to say. Don Byas and Benny Harris there with his trumpet, Jimmy Jones the pianist, John Levy bass, and Fred Radcliffe the drummer. November 26th of 1945. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley. We're here with Jazz Records for you every Sunday from noon until 3 o'clock. The last hour, always featuring one artist or one group, and today we're listening to the great tenor saxophonist Don Byas. There's a new 4-CD package called Don Byas, the Complete American Small Group Recordings. And we're getting a little taste of it here. These were some of the things that I spent my hard-earned money on, and knowing that the surfaces were going to be terrible. But it was worth it just to hear Don Byas with labels like Gotham, International, Arista, American Label, Super Disc, Hub Label, Jamboree, Savoy. Here is my St. Patrick's Day record. You probably know already what it is, huh? Londonderry, or it's the Londonderry Air. But Bias doesn't have to pay any royalties to anybody. Just calls it Londonderry. That's just about as pretty as it comes. We're listening to Don Bias, great tenor saxophonist who, from 1946 on, for the rest of his life, was a resident of Europe. Died in Amsterdam, August of 1972, 59 years old. These are sides that he recorded in America with small groups during World War II, have been cleaned up, reissued, and just beautiful. Here's one that gave the young fellas who were playing the chords of Cherokee another thought. As Don Bias played Cherokee, and a real finger buster. It wasn't bebop, but it showed the young beboppers that nobody knew the changes like Don Bias did. Teddy Brennan is the pianist, Franklin Skeets the bassist, and Fred Radcliffe the drummer. He recorded this one May 17th of 1946. Mm-hmm. notice that the piano player and the bassist were still playing halftime through the whole thing. They never did get in with the drummer and Don Byas. They let them go, and they did it their way, which is the way I would have done it. May 17th of 1946, Don Byas recorded that one. Let's wrap it up with one of those beautiful ballads that Don did. He did this August 21st of 1946 with Sanford Gold, the pianist, Leonard Gaskin, bass, and Max Roach, the drummer. And this one is September Song. September Song. Well, that brought back some great memories, and without the scratch, too. Don Byas, Wesley, what did I say? Carlos, all of a sudden I'm drawing blanks in the memory department. Carlos Wesley Byas, yes. And that's it for this afternoon. Hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I'm Dick Buckley. This is WBEZ, 91.5 on your FM dial in Chicago, Chicago Public Radio. Happiness.